There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the hour. Of course, want to hear from you on the text line, the phone line, 343-0106. And Dalton, you heard I left Governor Ivey talking about the high-stepping turkeys in the show opener here, even after Thanksgiving, because I'm toying with the idea of leaving that in full-time. If y'all want to vote on the text line, let me know, or on our social media platforms, would you? Should the discussion of high-stepping turkeys from Governor Kay Ivey, should that stay in the show open, or should that just be seasonal? You let me know, and we'll tally up the votes and move it that way. Also mentioned coming up this hour, we would talk about a story that is, it's not a one-off. Okay, the story we're talking about right now is the deadly most recent fires in California. Let's look at the Camp Fire in Northern California. 83 dead, hundreds still missing, and just wholesale destruction of homes and infrastructure and people's lives. I think we look at it from a distance because it's a country away from us, but we look at the aftermath of a hurricane and how much it affects us and the number of homes affected or people affected. Look at what they're dealing with in Northern California. Hundreds still missing, 83 dead, tens of thousands of homes and businesses gone in these wildfires. And so we continue to hear these stories year after year. We mentioned that presidents spoken about it. Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke had talked about it, written a couple op-eds about this, about what can be done to fix the way we deal with the firefighting or the fire threat in the West. And of course, this will apply here back to the Southeast to some degree, but it is a different thing out in the West. So we talked about enough on this show that I figured it'd be time to bring somebody in who wasn't just, you know, talking out of their ear, and somebody who does this every day. And DJ Landrum from Landco Forestry joining us to talk more about this. Thanks for being in here today.
Thank you, Sean.
So yeah, tell folks you're in the forestry business, you're in the trees every day.
Well, We're out doing forest management and land management work, and one of the tools that we use on a daily basis is prescribed fire, and that's a lot of the problem in California is just the absence of prescribed fire in these areas that cause these catastrophic wildfires.
Now, explain to folks that hadn't prescribed fire. So what does that mean?
Just basically a controlled burn. Prescribed fire is just a controlled burn where you're going out during a certain time of the year with the right weather conditions and control burning, different reasons to control burn would be, you know, reduce fuel to cut down on wildfires, reduce competition for your residual trees, the pine trees you're trying to grow, or, wildlife management we do prescribed burns for.
And, those things in the Southeast are a big deal, and I think out West you can look at least two of those being valuable wildlife, help the wildlife. I don't know if they're trying to, do the same thing for managed forests as we are here, but you said at the beginning, reducing fuel. These fires get so out of control so fast out there because they do have all this fuel. Even the national news reporters have now figured out that fire needs fuel to burn. So I welcome aboard, national media. But this fuel gets built up out there, and then it seems like it's this wildfire season out there. You get these dry winds they're always talking about, these conditions that make it worse. You could, in a prescribed fire, there are better times a year you could let a fire go. In like California, for example, right? You could find a better time of year to have it go and not do as much damage.
Exactly. It's a certain time of year and certain weather conditions you're looking for to do these prescribed fires. But what causes the fuel loads out there are going to be, going back years and years to maybe some imposed regulations on forestry or logging that's built this fuel up where they don't thin trees as much as they used to, are they restricting them on burning or road building or something
and I guess
like
we
that.
Need to explain too the difference as we look at this. At folks in the Southeast, we're used to so much of the land being in private hands or timber company lands, but out west you got a lot of federal land, you got a lot of BLM land, you got a lot of the national forest land.
Yeah, a lot of public land out there, a lot of federal lands that they don't have the manpower, the resources to maybe manage correctly. You know, like where the private lands,
right
here, you know, we're doing it for profit, so
right.
we're spending the resources to prescribe burn and manage them on a daily basis. Out there on these federal lands, they may not have the resources or the manpower to do the prescribed fires like they need to.
But you know, DJ, I'm looking at the money spent. Let's talk about, more importantly, the lives lost, first of all, and then the money lost and the money spent to fight these fires. It seems like if there weren't dollars in the past and there wasn't a motivation to do something, my gosh, on the backdrop of what just happened, this is not the only fire. We all focused on this fire, but this is just another year and another big fire in California. With that being said, there's got to be some traction for money to do this. So if you're looking at Western Forest, and I got a couple of questions, because I mean, we're so focused, and you know, you do your work here in the Southeast, but you're a student of forest management. What's different in a forest out there, like a pine forest in our pine forest? What's different?
Well, just the weather for one thing contributes to these fires, but the type of fuel out there is a lot drier, the humidity is a lot lower, the brush is just a lot drier than what we deal with here on a daily basis. That, you know, they get into longer drought situations, and then we spoke earlier about just the terrain of the area, the mm-hmm. hills and limited access, that, you know, there's no way to get in and fight these fires once they get started, but the fuel loads are just year after year just increasing. So
I think about that. I mean, if we have a fire here, we get fires that get out of control even here in the Southeast, but you know, they're fighting it, but we know there's a road or a river out in
right.
the West. There's many miles before a road or a river.
Yeah, here you don't, you know, with the roads and river system the way it is, but even here we have private lands where people are doing prescribed burns every 2 to 3 years. So if you have a wildfire on an area that hasn't been burned, chances are it's going to burn into an area that a private landowner like yourself
right.
has burned in the last few years, to slow the spread of the fire down and makes it easier to fight. So
That's something that I and people who don't watch this all the time may need a better time, a little more time to digest this and understand that you're not saying with doing this management, doing better practices in the West, there's not going to be a fire lit. I mean, that's just the nature of lightning strikes and arsonists. And all. But it's once that fire is lit, what happens next, right? That's what we're trying to mitigate.
That's right. Try to mitigate the effects of the fire, the spread of the fire, and how large the fire gets. Just, I mean, it's not an overnight fix. You can't just go burn everything
right.
in California overnight.
It's,
you know, it'd be impossible. One thing is education. I'm sure the people in California, if you talk about setting a fire, they just lost their home. So
right, that would be
that
would be unnerving, right?
That's after right. So anyway, it just when you talk about me and you think about prescribed fire, we see habitat improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Those people see. We just lost our home and, you know, lives and things like that. So
you're right. You have to educate the folks before you even. You have to do some politicking and explaining before you start
right.
even doing.
You just lost your home to a fire, and we won't set the woods on fire.
Oh man,
not a good idea.
Right. So, with that being said, so prescribed fire. We'll come back from the break, and also we talk about national forest lands. People think about everything that's federal as national parks, and that's not true. The majority of it is areas where you can log, legally log, but there have been roadblocks put up, literally and figuratively, to keep people from logging those areas. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Also, if you got questions, if you've been wondering, you watch these wildfires, you hear the comments, whether it was the whole discussion of their raking in Finland that the president got blasted for. There's some actual truth to what he was talking about. I don't know that we're going to go rake out there, but let the fire do the raking. We'll talk about that. But you got questions for DJ, you have a forester here to answer them. 343-0106. We'll continue right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
at 120. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. And in this discussion, kind of in a general sense, we talk specifically because the latest news is that horribly deadly fire in Northern California. They lost lives as well in Southern California, but the one they called the Camp Fire, and it's not a campfire, it's the area they named it for. The way we name hurricanes, they name fires out west in the area of California, a camp. So Camp Fire, 83 dead and still hundreds of missing, and so many homes and businesses and infrastructure gone. And to talk more about what can be done, not just in dealing with California, but other Western states and really across this country, are we doing the best job of managing these forests? And a man who does this every day, DJ Landrum of Land Crow Forestry, talking with us. You know, what catches fire out there? We talked about these forests. What is catching fire? It's just, I mean, here at home, we're always talking about pine straw, but there's a bunch of other stuff, I guess, that can catch fire.
Yeah, out there, it's a lot of pine straw and just, you know, same kind of fuel that we deal with. It's just a lot drier conditions, and the brush is just a lot drier and lower to the ground, but the fuel loads are just accumulating year after year, you know, and so it doesn't take much fire to start one of these large fires. In the humidity and wind conditions out there, we deal low humidity here, maybe 20%. They deal with sub 20% humidity on long term, several days in a row, and real high winds for
several days. That is the recipe for the disasters
that's,
we see.
That's the recipe for the disaster. That's what we see. The Alabama Forestry Commission, when the humidity gets below that certain point here, that what they consider a red flag day, where no burn, no anything, and they have those conditions for weeks on end out there with high winds. So.
But part of the, you know, people talk about getting things back to the natural cycle. And we talk about it here on this show. We talk about it on the Gardening Show with Bill Finch and talking about prescribed burns here. It is part of the natural cycle here, and it is part of the natural cycle out west to have these burns at some point that lower the fuel level.
Correct. It's natural. I mean, as we was talking about in the break, a lot of the tree species out there thrive with wildfire, with not necessarily wildfire, but prescribed fire for regeneration and for, you know, controlling the density levels. Fire isn't the natural way to control those densities and for them to regenerate. So when you take it out of the equation for 20-plus years,
there you go.
It's recipe for disaster.
Because it would be normal, DJ, for fires to move across the landscape out west. It just, but they would do it, I guess, more often than every 20 years, so they're smaller than they are now.
That's right. They were just smaller, but you got to throw houses into the mix of that now,
yeah.
You know. So you got urban areas that, you know, just developments taking off out there, and probably wasn't urban areas 20 years ago, you know.
How do you, and that's the other one, and I want to go to the phones, we'll take some calls, but that's the other thing is, how do you deal with doing prescribed fires or those things, not in open landscapes, but now you got those suburban farmlets, you know, it's a 10-acre
yeah.
piece, and then there's some vacant land, and then there's a 2-acre homestead, and then there's, you know, that
yeah.
is.
One thing we do here, and they're doing out there, and President Trump was talking about the raking,
yeah.
is mechanical, you know, mechanical fuel reduction. It doesn't necessarily have to be prescribed fire to reduce these fuels.
Is that rakes like when somebody goes and buys pine straw for their yard, those kind of rakes?
Well, it'd be more mechanical with like dozers and
okay.
heavy equipment, you know,
okay.
to remove.
Would that put in fire breaks or actually remove the fuel?
Remove the fuel, grind it, you know, mulchers. You see
right.
these mulchers,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a way to mechanically reduce fuel, you know, get it low to the ground where it's not, you know, don't spread the fire.
So that's
fast.
What you would do in those suburban areas and closer to where.
That's right. Where you, I mean, you between in a residential area, you can't start a prescribed fire, maybe. So do some mechanical reduction, and that would prevent the spread of these wildfires.
All right, let's go to the phones. Craig is in Mobile and up first. Hey, Craig.
Oh, I was just asking about the rake stuff because, I mean, they're making fun of the president, you know, showing household rakes. And people with their little garden rakes and stuff. And I had a feeling that they used a much bigger rake than that in a forest, like something on the front of a Caterpillar tractor. Am I correct on that?
Yes, correct. That when he said raking, he was talking about mechanical raking with a large bulldozer or skid steer or something, you know, mechanical, not a hand rake.
But like always, yeah. But like always, you know what happens is, and Craig, I appreciate the call. Somebody hears it and takes it out of context, and then a bunch of people who don't know what he's talking about either continue to, you know, go on with the thing. And he probably should have been clearer when he was talking about that. But yeah, this the raking idea too. You know, he said, well, in Finland they're doing raking. You know, but those are also forests there where they have same deal, right? I mean, that's Finland, California, Alabama. We're all trying to accomplish the same thing: is take the fuel off the ground.
That's it. But that's reduce the fuel.
Fire doesn't burn on concrete.
That's it.
Unless you spill gasoline on it. But fire has to have a fuel of sorts. So that's interesting, too, because you're right. I mean, the part of this is going in and talking about doing a lot of prescribed burns right away for a bunch of people that just lost everything to fire. You're right. It's probably inconsiderate to those people until they get their lives back together.
It would be very difficult to explain to them that,
right,
hey, we're going to set the woods on fire that just destroyed your house, yeah, you know. But it is a starting point where if you can get one positive from the areas that are burning is, hey, that's 20 years of fuel that just got burned.
Right,
a starting point.
It's not coming back there, right? Right away back. In the next two, I don't know, California, like I know
two
the Southeast.
2 to 3 years.
You're safe.
You're safe, so why not make that the starting point to maybe start doing some controlled burning, some prescribed burning in those areas to prevent this in the future?
Yeah, you know, and there's two effects. Obviously, the people that are losing everything and their lives more specifically, but also the communities get to all the smoke and those kind of issues. It's either get a little bit of smoke every once in a while from prescribed burns or get, I mean, there are people in San Francisco Bay Area, they said, we're absolutely choked out. The smoke was so bad there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when we're planning these prescribed burns in mm-hmm. Alabama, we have a fire plan, and I'm a forester, but it's more weather than
mm-hmm. You're a meteorologist too, right?
I mean, every day before I start a fire, I go to the NOAA fire weather page, and I'm looking at dispersion, you know, mixing heights and things like that, because I want to know what my smoke's going to do at the end of the day. And they could easily plan prescribed fires in California with the same fire weather to, you know, put the smoke back over wilderness areas,
right,
instead of the city. I mean, I don't want smoke. I burn in Washington County.
Right.
My smoke goes to Mobile some days, but I try to plan on it not going to Mobile.
Sure. So, I mean, these are the things that as time goes on, they could be making these decisions. But you said they had been underfunded in those areas. I know Secretary Zinke's trying to make some changes there. But I would say just from the political side of it, if you were looking at getting attention for this issue, raising funding for this issue, unfortunately, it's on the back of real calamity on people. But, right now, I don't know if there's a better time to bring this up. You know, I mean, the 83 dead, hundreds missing, and, you know, I mean, if these groups would talk and say, hey, we need the money, I imagine there'd be time that they would listen now.
Yeah, they could better manage the federal lands out there by, you know, thinning or select cutting some of the forest, you know, to generate revenue.
Yeah, and there was some of that. Explain that, like, as we mentioned that going to the break, and I think I need to clarify that. So there are national parks, which are, there's no logging, no hunting, none of that going on. But the bulk of land, I mean, I just got back from the state of Colorado. I was on National Forest and BLM land hunting. Yep. I was in areas where they had done some logging in that same. So there is the ability to do that reduction of number of trees or cut certain areas, right, on national forest land?
Yeah, sound forest management, you need to control the density of your trees. So what better way than to do that than maybe thin some of the forest?
And that money could go back into doing...
that money could go back into doing prescribed burning or other forest management techniques, you know, so...
Seems like a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
That means that falls on deaf ears in Washington. Okay, DJ, I'm going to hold you over for one more segment if I could, because I got to ask you some questions about back here in Alabama, too. Are we doing all the best we can with prescribed burns here? I'm seeing some people on the text line saying, hey, there's still examples here at home where we're not doing the best job on burning understory and getting the fuel removed. So we'll talk about this. And once again, if you have questions, too, of DJ, phone number, text line 343-0106. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 136, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday, and good to have DJ Landrum from Landco Forestry in and talking about the situation out west. But I do want to bring it back home, and you know, there's similarities and there's some things that aren't the same between the western forest and our forest. But back here at home, a lot more private land, and you said, well, you were saying something about this. Do you think more people are getting into doing prescribed burns on their land here in the south? Is it increasing or decreasing the number of people private-wise doing this?
Private-wise, it's increasing. It's, okay. It's good for timber, good for wildlife. So most private landowners are doing it for timber production and hunting. So
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Well, fire helps both. So.
And if that fire, if we were in a situation where you did have something break out across the landscape, eventually it's going to hit somebody who has just burned recently. And
that's correct.
Puts it out, slows it down. What about public land here? Because you and I were, I see Greg on the text line had talked about not doing prescribed burns at the bird sanctuary there on Dauphin Island, leading to understory growth. And then you and I were talking about on the other side of the bay there at Gulf State Park.
Yeah, public land, they've really kicked up the prescribed burn program over the last few years. The state lands in Mobile and Baldwin County, Perdido Wildlife Management Area down at Point of Pines, they do a lot of prescribed burning down there. And then after the wildfires a few years ago at Gulf State Park, they same situation there where prescribed fire had been absent for several years, and they had the pretty catastrophic wildfires down there that took several days to extinguish. I know the last couple of years they've really kicked up their prescribed burn program around right there around the campground and some of the nature trails and things. You'll see some burning going on. They kind of advertise some of that on the news, make the public aware, hey, we're going to prescribe burn in the next few weeks or something. But they're doing that to prevent those wildfires.
And it's something to that effect. It is a little bit different, but some that kind of plan could be instituted out west.
Yes, like I said, if one good thing could come from the wildfires, it would be kind of a starting point, in some of these areas that burn this year, 2 or 3 years from now, they could start now planning a prescribed burn plan for 3 years from now for those sites. And it'd be a natural fire break and, reduce the risk of another catastrophic wildfire by maintaining what's already happened.
I mean, people who aren't around this need to understand, whether it be here or out west, when a prescribed fire goes through, afterwards, the trees are still there. The forest you love is still there. That's the point of it.
That's right.
It doesn't take the forest out.
No, a prescribed fire done correctly here in Alabama or out there, you're really just trying to burn the fuel on the ground and, reduce a little bit of competition for the trees that you're trying to grow. But the forest is still there. Occasionally you kill a tree or two you're going to have a mishap.
Sure.
You've burned, fire gets hot.
Yes, I've killed a few trees.
It gets hot. But
the nature of it is, in the grand scheme, people think, well, they're, Sean and DJ are talking about setting fires and wiping out forests. You're not love to see trees on the
that's
landscape.
Right.
So that's
right.
The last thing. It's this idea of it keeps it from being so big it does kill all
that's
of them.
That's right. You're just maintaining the fuels all you're doing. You're just trying to keep it at a manageable point where you don't have these wildfires.
Yeah, it's funny how things come around circular. You were saying that earlier, but what used to be, our grandparents, I know my grandparents' time and back, was normal, and to have fires roll through the landscape here in the southeast is then went through a period where that became not the thing to do.
That's right. It was a promotion where fire was bad. All fires were bad, prescribed fire, wildfire, anything.
Fire was bad.
And then, it came around in a cycle where we started seeing the effects of the wildfires or unhealthy forest. Prescribed fires help overall health of your forest. And it come back around in a cycle where ecologists and biologists and foresters, hey, we need these fires.
It's funny how we have to learn stuff again as human beings. Like, we know it and then we forget it.
That's it.
Back and do it again.
Yep.
So here in the southeast, from your perspective, the future's bright. It's looking good on using prescribed burns and forest management.
It's looking real good here in the southeast. A lot of private landowners you know, doing prescribed fire, NRCS programs, helping with these prescribed fires, state lands and different public land organizations doing a lot of prescribed fire. So it's looking real good.
All right. Well, hopefully some of these tactics, and if you weren't hearing it, didn't hear it earlier, when the president mentioned raking, it was not out there with the true temper rake out there. It was a mechanical process, and there is a mechanical process to reduce these fuels.
That's right. Mulching, raking, but most of it's mechanical, not physical, which in some of the terrain in California, it is some. I mean, they make hand fire lines and do some mechanical thinning by hand,
right?
But not necessarily
right
with the garden rake.
There you go, DJ. People want to find out more information about what you do every day. Where do they go find you? Is Facebook best or where?
Facebook or our website, landcoforestry.com.
All right, man. I appreciate you being in here today.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, we'll talk again, too, as it gets in. I got some questions before we get to burning season. You know, although some people argue that we're getting closer to February, we'll start talking, right? When everybody. How much does your phone ring in February?
It's a lot of calls right now. It's heating up.
That's for sure. All right, 142 FM Talk 106.5. We'll check in with News 5. Grab some calls when we get back. Phone number 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 147 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Oh, this is a good segue here. Somebody's asking, hey, where can I get that segment with DJ Landrum to share? Well, you can do that pretty easily by just going to podcast. You can go to the, if you want to do it a la carte, go to the front page of fmtalk1065.com. You'll see the link there for podcast, and then just find the hour of the show you're in. This case, it would be, now it's not posted yet because the hour's not over. You gotta let us finish the hour. Give us a little time to get it put up, because there's no, by the way, there's no automatic way to do it. There is some labor involved, but we post all our hours of live local content, which are a bunch, every weekday here at FM Talk 106.5 and on the weekends. But you go to podcast and you'll find Midday Mobile, this show, hour number two on Monday. And then you can share that link. You can either download it onto your computer, share that link with somebody. And also, if you don't want to have to go and search them out like that, you can always subscribe to get the podcast delivered to your smartphone. You can go to iTunes for Apple users. You can go to if you're a person on the Android side of things like me. I use Stitcher, the app Stitcher. It works quite well, but I know there are others. The one I can tell you all about specifically, like someone who stitches. Stitcher, the name of that app, and subscribe to have those podcasts delivered right there to your phone. So that's a way to do it. So I can, you know, you can go onesie twosies and get them from the website, or you can go have them delivered every day to your phone. All right, couple of news items up. Speaking of our website, three big things you need to know today. Number one here, we played a little bit of the presser last hour. Mayor Sandy Stimson announcing the Carnival Fantasy for another year going to be sailing from Mobile. Now, it's still year to year, and it's a tough situation, too. I mean, it's year to year, but what do you do? I mean, if you... How do you make the case? You can say, well, I'm like you. I would like to have a long-term contract with them. But there's so many places vying for these cruise lines to sail out there. How do you get them to sign it? I don't know. That's y'all's job, City Council and Administration. I'll work on that. But yeah, another year green-lighted with the Carnival Fantasy sailing from Mobile. Also, what we discussed with Brendan Kirby last hour, Mexico tighten up security at the border. Of course, after yesterday's attempted crossing of the border by members of the caravan, or 39 migrants that were arrested yesterday. And then this one from a world away. But this is going to be one of these questions. What do we do? How many foreign entanglements do we continue to get into? Maybe we do. Maybe we have something to say here. Maybe we sit back. Ukraine demanding Russia release vessels as tensions build. Ukraine's president demanded today that Russia immediately release Ukrainian sailors and ships seized in a standoff around the Crimea that sharply escalated tensions between the two countries and drew international concern. Two neighbors have been locked in a tense tug of war since Russia's 2014 annexation of Crimea, but the incident late yesterday in which the Russian Coast Guard ships fired on the Ukrainian Navy vessels near the Kerch Strait directly pitted the two militaries, placing them on the verge of open conflict. And, I mean, you got to ask this question. I mean, that is obviously, if you're in Europe, that's a big, big deal. what's the right thing to do there, as people are crying on some response from the United States. Goes on, the story says Ukrainian Navy said six of its seamen were wounded when Russian Coast Guards opened fire on three Ukrainian ships near the Kerch Strait, seized those ships. Russia said the three Ukrainian sailors were lightly injured and given medical assistance. It's coming from the Russians. I don't take everything with about a block of salt. Ukraine's president, Petro Poroshenko, chaired an emergency meeting of his cabinet early today, asking Parliament to introduce martial law in response to what he described as Russian aggression. I don't know why that would call for martial law there in their country, but he has called for it. So those are some of the stories up on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Also on our list, this is some of the things I want to get into this week, as hopefully we'll talk to State Senator Cam Ward more about the upcoming session in Montgomery. We're less than 3 months away from session, and I think this will be one, maybe not for the record books, but pretty intense as compared to last year's session in Montgomery. Lottery, gas tax, Medicaid expansion, rural health care, all that's going to be up. So hopefully we'll talk more about that this week. And you got to look at this, because you have a weird situation right now in what we've been told by Speaker Mac McCutcheon and others, that there will be a... Once again, think about this. Take yourself back in the time machine to when you had... it could be Governor Riley, or before go Governor Siegelman. Right now we have most likely... What you will see in session this year is a Republican lottery bill. Doesn't mean there won't be a Democrat, but the Republicans that control the show will be, the Republican Party will be bringing a lottery bill. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, think about how times have changed. There will be a Republican backed, there will be plenty of Republicans backing the gas tax. I think the gas tax argument will be more a battle between the rural areas of the state and urban areas of the state. It won't be so much Republican-Democrat. And also Medicaid expansion. I hear that there's going to be a Republican Medicaid expansion bill. So it should be interesting in 2019. And speaking of Montgomery, oh yeah, this is getting ready to happen, y'all. Spencer Collier's lawsuit against former Governor Robert Bentley will go to trial. Now they have set a date. Montgomery Circuit Judge Greg Griffin has set a March 4th trial date and told the parties to notify him if a settlement is reached. Remember this story? Maybe you don't, because it's been going on for so long. Spencer Collier, Mobile County guy. Of course, now I think in charge of the police force there in Selma. Spencer Collier contends that Bentley wrongfully fired him and then tried to discredit him with a sham state investigation. I think he talked about that on our show here. Collier also accused Bentley of interfering in law enforcement business. Bentley had contended that Collier was dismissed for cause a day after being fired by the then governor. Spencer Collier publicly accused the governor of having an inappropriate relationship with an aide before his divorce. And you know what happened after that, right? You remember all that stuff that led to Governor Bentley leaving and KIV stepping in. Now the question that people are asking is, yeah, we're going to have a settlement in this, or will it be, think about this, if this goes to trial, all the discussion of the accusing and the tapes and the what he was doing on the plane and what Rebecca Mason, all that would come back up in a Spencer Collier Robert Bentley trial. So will they settle or will this go to trial? But once again, they have set the date for this coming up March 4th in Montgomery. And then there's the Mars thing. We talked about it a little bit this morning, but I don't know if it's 2 o'clock, right? Yeah, it's supposed to be 2 o'clock. So in six minutes, NASA's InSight spacecraft is supposed to be landing on the planet. Although I heard a discussion earlier that they're not sure how landing versus crashing, how easy the impact will be when this NASA spacecraft actually gets to the surface of Mars. It's been like 7 months of travel time, and it's there finally. InSight had traveled 6 months and more than 300 million miles to get to Mars, where it will drill below the surface and explore the geological contents. Now, this is a, by the way, too, kind of cool. InSight was launched on top of a rocket built here in North Alabama. And I don't know. I mean, there's some people say, well, why does this matter? This is a waste of money. It is cool, this idea that we are landing on Mars. We'll see how the landing goes. Once again, 5 minutes now to the landing of Mars. But they said landing versus crashing, that's up for discussion. We'll see what happens, and we'll put the latest on our social media platforms when we find out. But yeah, we're landing slash crashing something on Mars today. And would you then go sign up? There are people signing up. Remember that thing where they're going to fly people to Mars? It's a one-way trip. They had the thing where they signed people up that you could fly one way to Mars. No promise of return. You got to sign up for one way. But I don't know where that is. I know we talked about it last year that they were getting getting people to sign up. You would get on there and then go colonize Mars, but it would be a one-way trip and you wouldn't come back. Would you sign up for that kind of stuff? Yes, as somebody's saying here, depending on how they do with this landing. Yeah, I can say that's probably fair. We'll watch how they do with the landing today, if it's a landing or a crash, and then you can make your decision whether you'd sign up for that. All right, coming back tomorrow morning, bright and early for Mobile Mornings. Lots to do on the show, and we'll talk about that with Quinn Hillier. Joins us also coming up on Wednesday, Jeff Poor, who has a couple articles out right now on Yellowhammer News, and I hadn't seen what he's done for Lanyap yet, but a couple of them about exactly what we just discussed session in 2019. And take a look at some of these questions on gas tax. I'm telling y'all, this is going to be big when it comes to the battle over the gas tax. Also, the Medicaid expansion and the lotto. That's all in some stuff he's written already over the weekend. And we'll get him on Wednesday to talk more about that. All right, 157, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Y'all, you want to check out football game discussion? I think Paul's going to have a little bit of that coming up in just a couple minutes right here on FM Talk 106.5. I will see y'all bright and early, 6 a.m. for Mobile Mornings. And check us out online, fmtalk1065.com.